The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be faithful to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The other day, I was reminded that it was the anniversary of the passing of my childhood dog, Dolly, a chocolate Labrador retriever. I remember fondly how full of energy she was almost to the very end of her 14 and a half year life. She would tumble into a room and greet everybody with a sloppy kiss. When we used to go camping as a family, near a lake or a river, Dolly wouldn't waste a second before plunging herself into the water, swimming for floating sticks or floating logs or people who were swimming. Many dogs are like Dolly. And some are certainly more timid, on the timid side. Some will investigate the edges of a room with their snout before engaging with any of the people, while others might just ignore humans altogether. I call those ones cats. Nothing against cats. Dogs like Dolly would make stupendous evangelists. And a part of me suspects that that's exactly what they're up to. If dogs have a role in the Missio Dei, in the mission of God, it's definitely spreading God's love through cuteness. The good news of their lives just pours out of them like water from a fire hydrant. Dogs have something then to teach us about our own vocation as evangelists. Now, because it's something like the 184th Sunday after Pentecost, I think we are safe talking about CEOs. CEOs? That's what we called them growing up, CEOs, the Christmas and Easter only crowd. They make special liturgical occasions feel like one huge family reunion. So we put on a good show, we sing our hearts out, we set the table for hundreds and hundreds of people. But what about the regular life of this assembly? We say every Sunday that this is not our table. I believe that the women of St. James's paid for it, but it's not theirs, and it's not ours. This table belongs to everyone who seeks relationship with God and a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. It is an open table, and with an open table and an openness of spirit, our hospitality isn't particularly in question. But what about our challenging task to actually invite others into this assembly, into relationship, into fellowship? Those on the outskirts of our community and those on the outskirts of society. Jesus has something to say about this as he turns to his host at the dinner party and says, "The next time you throw a dinner party, invite the kind of people who probably can't return the favor. Invite the ones who don't fit in, the ones who are pushed out of these kinds of gatherings. You will be a blessing to them, and they to you. And not only that," he adds, "at God's banquet, you're going to be sitting right next to all those people that you find so repulsive. So why not get some practice in now? Why not get a taste of that heavenly banquet? Why not practice by sitting and chatting with people whose presence makes you a little bit uncomfortable?" Jesus causes us to wonder then what Sunday morning might look like if we took our ability to invite even more seriously than we already do. And out of curiosity, just a quick poll, how many of you came to St. James's because someone invited you? And children count, your parents invite you. 1, 2, 3, okay, a few. I see a few, like, of these hands creeping up from the pews. A lot of people become a part of a new community because they're invited by someone. And think of all the people we pass by in Whole Foods or on the street who might enjoy an invitation for intentional communion with the living God. What if instead of just offering someone the loose change that they're asking for, we invited them into this fellowship, learning their names and hearing their stories? What might Sunday morning, the St. James's auction coming in November, or the chili cook-off look like? Would these occasions be spoiled, or would they be enriched? Jesus says that this great all-inclusive banquet is ultimately where we're heading. God's on a mission to make it happen, and we get to bring a side or a salad, or just ourselves. The point is that we are invited, and we're invited to invite everyone else. Because when we reach beyond ourselves and our current circles, we extend that fellowship and create ripples through the world that break down problematic narratives of exclusion, narratives that say you have to look a certain way to be worthy of love, narratives that suggest your value is determined by how much you earn or how productive you are, narratives that keep people out instead of inviting them in. Such narratives are the ones that have the other dinner guests at this Jesus dinner party up in arms as Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath during dinner. Such narratives have them throwing elbows at each other to get a better seat at the table. Such narratives even convince us that going to church makes us disciples of Jesus Christ and evangelists of the good news of God. But going to church doesn't do that any more than sitting in a garage makes me a Chevrolet. God is never finished with us and is always asking us to play our role in the continuing activity of God in the wider world. We might practice open table at St. James's, but we also practice open font. This sign of our union with Jesus, this sign of our connectedness with every widow, beggar, tax collector, and other outsider Jesus encountered, healed, and exalted. This sign of our belovedness by God is open to everyone. Everyone in here, everyone out there, just as much as is open to young Adam, who's about to be baptized. If you've not yet been baptized, I am inviting you to take this plunge into these waters. Understand, though, that baptism is not a mere ticket to whatever lies ahead for us beyond the grave. Baptism is a commission by God to break bread with anyone who wants it, to forgive and accept our own forgiveness, to proclaim the good news of God's love, to seek and serve Christ in every person, to strive for both peace and justice, and to respect the dignity of every life. Through this baptismal life, God works on us. God isn't finished with us yet. And just as much as we might plunge or be plunged into baptism, baptism plunges us into dual roles of guest and host at God's heavenly banquet. So those of us who are baptized can remember that sitting at the edge of the river is only a temporary option. Through every Eucharistic experience, we are renewed and empowered for the work of ministry. Every time we remember our baptism by renewing our baptismal covenant, God gives us opportunities to reconvict our hearts for inviting outsiders in, into fellowship, into relationship, into a foretaste of an all-inclusive heavenly banquet. So if you are not yet baptized, if you are going to be baptized in a matter of minutes, or if you've been baptized since your infancy, God is not finished with you yet. Take that plunge. Amen.